Our text for today is Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. We're actually going to be using this same set of texts for this week and in 2 weeks. And in this text, one of the pictures that really came to my mind is one of a family business. That the church is like a family business in some ways, like God's family business. In this text, we hear of Paul laboring and suffering for others and rejoicing even in these things. And I wondered, who do we do these things for? Who do we labor for most of all? Who do we suffer for and even rejoice in our sufferings if it benefits others? And one of the places where I think that really happens in a way when we all really understand this is within the context of our families. Paul calls the church the body of Christ here in our text today. And in other places, and that is a good picture. The body, like a human body, the body of Christ, connected, different in many ways, but united in purpose, together. Another good picture is a picture of the family of God. It's really one of the pictures I like most that we present sometimes when we talk to people about the church. It is like a family. A family where you may not like each other. At all, sometimes. But you're still family. And woe betide if anybody else messes with that brother that you've never gotten along with. That's your brother. Though I am absent from you in body, Paul writes in this section, I am present with you in spirit. Sounds like a letter home. Paul is glad to hear that his Christian friends, some of which he's never met in Colossae, are benefiting from, sharing in, and working for God's family business. God's family business. It's the purpose of the church. It's the bottom line goal for God's above the line people. It's what God has been doing since the days of Adam and Eve's expulsion. You can track it through every page of God's word, the Bible. What is it? In our church tradition, we talk about the six great ends of the church. One of which is the nurture and shelter of God's people. Actually, you can see the banners on the wall there that commemorate the six great ends of the church. They're all interconnected, and I've made the point, and I believe in my heart of hearts, that every good church does all of these things. Churches don't say, well, we'll do those two. No, every good church does all of these things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all constitute God's essential family business with the church. Nurture for God's people, it's an important part of the church's call and identity, not to be neglected. But is it our main purpose? Is the church here simply to nurture the people who come into the church, to be the best club on earth that everyone wants to be a part of? Social righteousness, making the world a better place. There's a banner up there about that one. This is also extremely important, not to be set aside. But is it what we're all about? Bottom line, here in the church. Teaching and learning and preserving the history and wisdom and truth given to us in God's word, the Bible. Are we mostly people of the book? Exhibiting the kingdom of God, this is the way our book of order says it. Showing people how great things are inside God's family. The values that God has given us. Within his kingdom, working for his kingdom, how good and loving we tend to be, comparatively. And gee, wouldn't you like to be part of it all? When all's been said and done, is that how we're supposed to roll? Worship services. I would say this is our central activity, but is it our main purpose? Is what we're supposed to be in business with God here on earth to do mostly is doing worship services? Is God partnering with us here and now for the purpose of producing good, better, and best worship? This one's tricky. We mustn't neglect it. Actually, we believe that God is glorified in everything. Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. What Jerry read for us earlier in his announcement, we didn't compare notes, but thank you. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We believe this. The bottom line of why we're here as people is to bring glory to God. But is that the business of the church? Is that what we're here to do? I've thought about this. I mean, we're going to glorify God forever. We are going to praise God forever. What we do when we gather for worship, we believe, is enter into a worship that is happening in the heavenly realms all the time. And won't we do worship better in heaven, really? I mean, when God himself is revealed to us in his fullness, and the pictures that the book of Revelation gives us of people before this perfect God, the Lamb on the throne, laying their crowns before him in glorious worship, worship will be better there. If this is our main job, why not just put a stop to all this earthly travail and let's get on with it? God's glory is the real bottom line goal and purpose of everything in creation, redemption, truth, love, human life, the church. But in light of our text for today, I would say that it isn't the essence of the business of the church. Why we're here still now. The business of the church through which God is and will be greatly glorified. What is God's real, essential family business, and how can we benefit from it, share in it, and work for it? Paul the Apostle helps us zero in on the real business of the church. He helps us see how the rest of our purposes relate to the big one. Let's look at our text for today, Colossians 1, 24 through 2:5. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to hear and to receive and to be ready to respond to the things that you tell us today, the truth about us, about you, about your world, about your church. Lord, we pray that the words that we hear and the meditations of each of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God's family business, the real essential job of the church, what God has been doing since the days of Adam and Eve's expulsion from the garden, tracked through every page of God's word, the Bible, making something. Something extraordinary, something astounding, something miraculous. Perfect people. That's the bottom line for God's earthly business plan to bring eternal glory to himself. That's what the divine and human partnership called the church is striving toward. This is what God's family business produces. Perfect peace. Verse 28 is another gem from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Every follower of Jesus Christ is given a place of importance in God's family business, the business of making people perfect through their glorious connection with Him. Now, before getting into the family business stuff, and most of it we're going to take a look at some of the how and why aspects of this, we're going to look at in a couple of weeks. But first, we need to look at this mystery of perfection that Paul talks about, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Perfection. This perfection that we talk about when we're talking about God making perfect people in partnership with His church, in business with His people, the church. Is perfection just simply good times 10? I mean, the good that we have, just better, make it better, multiply it. The good things you do, just do them better. The bad things you do, just stop. No. It's not a matter of comparison. Good, better, best, perfect. It's not simply being better than others. The top 10% of our human race in citizenship. It's not simply being a better you. Rather, it is a different sort of a person, a different sort of you. Not different, though, like a substitute you or a replacement you, like a false you, someone else who can come and play your part better. Not some kind of re-engineered superhuman that has no resemblance to who you are now. You see, this word perfect is one of the really loaded words in the whole New Testament. Paul uses it a lot. In Greek, it's the word teleos, translated perfect in our New International Version. And behind this word is the idea of achievement, fulfillment, or the power to achieve, getting from here, where we are, to there, where we want to be, where we ought to be. And so we have words that help us to understand this, like telescope. Telescope, an instrument that helps us to take something that's way over there and bring it so that we can see it, scope, so we can see it as though it were close. Getting from there to here, bridging the gap. Telephone, telephone. To hear someone far away, there, as though they were right next to us, here. Telepathy, communication of two minds at a distance, as though they were right together. Teleos is linked to the idea of totality, wholeness, perfection. In public school terms, the teleos of a kindergartner is a high school graduate. Within that kindergartner is everything needed, along with all of the experience, to become that high school graduate. No one would send someone to school with the great hope that they would be able to remain in kindergarten throughout their school career. Unless you're a kindergarten teacher and you like those kids. In academics, it would be the degree beyond which there was nothing else to achieve. The one signifying that your knowledge was complete. You knew everything. There is, of course, no such degree. Although if you talk to people in various departments at the university, they might tell you that theirs is actually that one. It means reaching the full and final destination. Some philosophers have called death the teleos of humanity. We know better. Teleos, it's about perfection, completeness, maturity. It's about becoming in a full and final way what we are made to be. A full-grown oak tree is the teleos of an acorn. A Great Dane, the teleos of that much smaller Great Dane puppy. You get the idea. So this difference is more like the real you, the you God always intended you to be. Acorns and oak trees are very different things. No one would say an oak tree is simply a better acorn. Oak trees are not simply the winners of the Miss Acorn pageant. or the ones that got 1600s on their SATs. That's the successful Acorn test. Nobody's going to climb up or seek shade from an acorn. However, an oak tree is still the full expression of what an acorn is uniquely designed to be. Acorns don't ever grow into Great Danes. You are still uniquely you when you reach that perfection that Paul talks about. You're the complete you, the mature you, the whole you, the total you, the perfect you according to God's will and design. Perfection is as perfection does? No. Do perfect and you'll be perfect? We can't. I was intrigued this week to be talking to a friend and hear about a youth subculture I really didn't know anything about, and I was intrigued that it actually happened this week when I'm talking about perfection. Apparently there's a youth subculture called Straight Edge. Anyone heard of this? So I see a few young hands going up. Straight Edge. It's a subculture built around hardcore music, dark fashion, tattoos, etc. It's a subculture that uses the symbol of an X on your hand, tattooed on, which apparently came from that bartenders used to put X's on the hands of young people when they went into bars and they were below age, so the X would signal that they weren't supposed to be served drinks in the bar. The message, though, is one of saying no to alcohol and drugs. The message is carried by vulgar language and comes with a feel of defiance and anger and sometimes leads to actions of vigilante violence against others who are not so straight-edged. If you drink too much, they might beat you up. It's just say no, taken to its logical extremes. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I just say no to all substance abuse and keep my body pure but have not love, how perfect, how straight-edged am I really? Perfection is not just perfection is, it's perfection does. Just do perfect and you'll be perfect. We know we can't. Look at yourself. And you don't have to look that hard, even when you try. Even when we think we're doing pretty good. Paul doesn't present us with the right program to achieve perfection. Here are the 10 steps to follow. Here are the right rules to keep. Here is the test you need to ace. Instead, Paul presents us with the right person to connect with. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Perfection is who perfection knows. This is what Paul says. Jesus said much the same thing to his disciples after he rose from the dead and just before he ascended into heaven. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Making disciples, getting people connected to God is the important thing. This is the necessary step for the perfecting process, which is God's family business, to occur. When is this perfecting process over? Well, once connected to Jesus, total maturity is happening. All the nurture that acorn will ever need will come in that relationship with Jesus. That acorn will become the oak tree, the unique oak tree that God has designed him or her to be. But when is this fully achieved? Not in this life. Listen to what Paul said, the Apostle Paul, the author of a third of the New Testament, the key figure in the first century of God's church. Listen to what he said about himself. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, And that made perfect word, the root of that word that Paul uses there in Philippians is teleos. Not that I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The church's part in God's family business is a lifelong process. A lifelong process that we enter into with great confidence, because the hope isn't the church in you. The hope is not you and me. The hope is Christ in you. In this life, every person is called to be a part of God's family all the time. For we are all in process as people God is perfecting as his disciples. So in this life, every person is called to be part of God's family business, helping people get connected to Jesus Christ. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's the what. A couple weeks from now, we'll talk about the why and the how. How do we go about, according to Paul, how do we go about this family business? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessing to us through your word. We're grateful for you, Lord Jesus, present with us, blessing us, transforming us, giving us hope, leading us on, directing your good work through us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know ourselves to be part of your family, and so part of the work that you are doing in your world. To proclaim your gospel, to tell your truth, to be light and salt in your world. Lord, we know that we need that encouragement, and we need your help, and we need your guidance, and we need your strength, and we need your wisdom, and we're grateful that you give it all to us abundantly. Lord, we pray these things in your name and in your sake. Amen.